Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the Lakers did the impossible and moved Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones into minimal cap space to open up the $32 million that they needed to get to in the first place.
I mean, I guess it was impossible, but right, like, this was like, that was the way it was portrayed as this friggin' crisis, like that it never was. Like, so the first day it was reported, it was like, oh crap, did we screw this up? And then as time went on, it was like, you know, wait a second, like they've been planning for this. The Jamario Jones contract that they gave, which was critical in being able to execute this and get this to where they needed to be for max cap space. Just like Rob Pelinka is, he can be of questionable character.
Yeah, he's many
but
things.
I don't think the man is dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even if so, like, it's not just Pelinka. We have a tendency to kind of put everything to him. The Lakers have a lot of powerful people. Now, if they're good or not, but like, we got LeBron James and Rich Paul working for us too, mm-hmm. right? Because their interests match ours right now. And that's something where it just didn't seem to me that something like this was going to stop us from getting what we want. Now, we might not get Kawhi, right? We might not get the first guy that we want, but it just didn't seem like it was going to be this. Right.
So to the point you made, I think this is the point that needs to be hammered home here. And so when I questioned whether or not Pelinka screwed up, it wasn't a matter of me thinking Pelinka was dumb. It was me thinking he was inexperienced, right? Which is, I don't think, in otherworldly misreading of a situation where this guy is in his first year ever in this specific role, right? With nobody above him, with no Magic Johnson. But the point that, and it's odd that people kind of think this is, they talk about this in the pejorative. But yes, Rich Paul and LeBron James needed this to happen, right? They needed the Lakers to be able to do this. And so even if it was just a mistake, there was still the ability that the Lakers had out there to make up for a mistake, if it was one, right? Which it might not have been.
Right.
And I think in this case, like this was, as we just said, it was the prudent move. It was something that needed to get done, and it was something that, you know, Anthony Davis was on the same page, obviously, right? I thought that was, I'm not going to go so far as to say misreported, but misanalyzed, this idea that it was never going to happen, that Anthony Davis was not going to, was going to waive his trade kicker. That's happened before. We've seen players do that.
They created a crisis that was never there in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to be like, hey, will you take our players for free? Jamario Jones is not like guaranteed money, right? He can be a useful player, and he's not somebody that you have to keep if you don't want to, right? Like, he's a guy that's on a non-guaranteed deal. I think he's getting $200,000 guaranteed out of this to make it work for him and whatnot, right? But he's not somebody that you have to keep on your books. Isaac Bonga has one more year under contract, and then there's a team option for the third year. I believe there's a team option. I'd have to look that up, but he could be off your books next year. Mo Wagner, if you like him, you've got under team control for 3 years. If you don't like him, the first team option is after this season, right? So you've got him for 1 year. So like, and they send a future second round pick. And what does Washington give up in all of this? You know what I mean? Like,
cash.
it's for trade exceptions, right? Yeah. And like, so the idea, the Lakers did this back in 96 when they got rid of George Lynch and Anthony Peeler, and they sent along cash and second round picks.
Those names.
They sent it to the Vancouver Grizzlies at the time to clear more space for a higher offer for Shaq, right? So like, getting NBA teams to take your players for free is really not that, you know, it's not nearly the impossible task that it was made out to be. And I just saw a Ringer article that was like, somehow, some way, the Lakers found a way to clear space. And I'm just like, and poor Eric Pincus, I want to give Eric a shout out just because he's been right on top of all of this, all the way back to when Jamario was signed to that contract, was like, hey, this is a foreshock, and this is exactly the type of move you make if you need to throw in a little more money into this. And so just the way, I'm in this place where I'm just so irritated with so many reporters right now. And you don't have to be like kissing Lakers' butt, or it's not a confirmation.
Yeah.
So for example, like Chris Haynes the other day was like, hey, the Raptors are Kawhi is seriously considering re-signing with the Raptors. I didn't like lose my mind and say Chris Haynes is fake news or anything like that. Right. Like Chris Haynes' stuff is usually on point. You know what I mean? And like, oh, that would be a bummer. I'd love to have him on the Lakers, but it's not just a matter of everybody that says something I don't like is fake news, you know?
Yeah. Here's my, I'm not disagreeing. I can't disagree with you. There is no way to disagree with you. But I think there are some out there. There are a lot of people out there who do take that next step.
I mean, sure, but I'm talking about that, like, the median of the Lakers fan base. Yeah. The Lakers fan base has tens of millions of people in it. And you are going to have every degree of crazy on the rainbow represented within that when you've got that many people. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not somebody who's predisposed to saying, oh, you're full of crap, when somebody who has a job in the same industry that we have jobs yeah. in, right?
Yeah, we like, come by these people.
Right. I see these people in person. Might be interesting yeah. for me next year. But I just want the truth, you know, and I want it to be just do your best to try to report the truth. And when it's in the same direction over, like, when was the last time Woj or Mannix were overly optimistic about something, like where when you
Mannix is literally a Celtics employee. I'm not going to go down that road with Mannix. Woj is different because there is a more of a shade of gray there. But go ahead.
But it's just like if you're going to be wrong on stuff, but you're always wrong in the same direction.
Yeah.
Like you're always wrong in a direction where it is worse for the Lakers, where you mm-hmm. thought it was going to be worse, and then it turns out they do sign LeBron James. Imagine yeah. that. They do create this max cap space. That's when I start to get suspicious, when you're wrong in the same way, and it's always to the Lakers' detriment every time.
Right. And that's fair. That's fair. Let's take a quick second here. We got to talk about the implications of this move. We've already said that it was the smart move. You and I were for them doing this in the first place, regardless of whether or not they knew somebody was coming.
Yes. So
we're going to take a quick second here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the implications of no longer having Mo Wagner, not having Isaac Bonga, not having Jamario Jones, sending out that second round pick, which, by the way, not that big of a hit. The Lakers buy second rounders anyway. So we have plenty to talk about the move itself. And then we also have to get to, this is the last Locked On Lakers that you guys are going to listen to before we get to free agency kicking off on Sunday. So there's a ton to preview. Hang tight. We'll be back here in a bit. So as it stands right now, it's basically Wagner, Bonga, and Jamario Jones to Washington, along with a second rounder. Washington, I think, is sending $1.1 million in cash to New Orleans, I believe, so that it's that, I forget the guy's name on Twitter. I'm sorry that I'm forgetting your name. If I do, I'll tweet out I'll retweet the thing later. But it's like this touch clause where the teams involved, because they're expanding mm-hmm. this into a three-team deal, there has to be some kind of involvement between Washington and New Orleans. So Washington is sending just enough cash to New Orleans to be able to make that possible and be okay with that clause. So that appears to be the deal as it stands right now. More importantly than the specifics of this new iteration of the deal is that the Lakers open up enough cap space to sign Kawhi Leonard if they head down that route. If they want to go after Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, they now have not necessarily their pick of free agents that they can sign, right? Because those guys have to agree to come here, but they have enough room to sign whomever wants to come at the rate that they have to that they have to make without having to ask anybody to take a hit off the top, which is really all that matters. My question then is, who do you think how do they proceed with Kawhi Leonard? How do they like? What's your pitch meeting to, like, if you're sitting in the room to Kawhi Leonard? What's the first thing you're talking about when you're trying to convince him to come to the Lakers?
So the first thing that I try to say, so first of all, I don't let a whole ton of people in the room in the first place, right?
Can I let Blake Griffin in the room?
Sure, if you can get him there, that would be the most persuasive person, the guy who the Clippers traded, right?
Yeah.
It's like, for me, the the Raptors make the most sense to me. Like, it's like Raptors or Lakers. Right? And I know everyone's selling the Clippers, and maybe that's a thing. It's been out there enough to where I'd be foolish to discount everybody saying that. It just, like, if you want to be with a well-run organization that gives you title hopes, you know, that's the place to go. Like, stay in. And I still think if Kawhi goes to the Clippers, like, Toronto would be better with Kawhi than the Clippers would be with Kawhi. In terms of the pitch, I think the, like, we've got LeBron, we've got Anthony Davis stuff is obvious. And those guys are, have been recruiting well before all of this went down, right? What I try to do is I try to sell him on the moves that you're making from a health standpoint. We're going to be able to take care of your body. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I would bring up LeBron and AD, because that's obvious, right? You don't need to sell that. They're there. He knows that. Is that by having LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're going to be a member of an elite team while being able to play 60 games a year and 65 games a year because of load management, right? Lakers can have two superstars in every game and three in the ones that matter the most. But on your back-to-backs, the hey, we're going to take care of your body and extend your career and make you ready for the playoffs, which Toronto did brilliantly this year with him, by the way. And these are the people that we're hiring. I'm going out. I'm trying to get Alex McKechnie, who used to be with the Lakers and is the director of sports science for the Toronto Raptors, who Kawhi's reportedly become very close with. I'm really selling the, hey, we're going to take care of you. We've got world-class facilities. We've got world-class people here that we've been hiring. And we've got a structure around here where we're going to need you to win a championship, but we don't need you to win 50 games, right? And we're going to take care of you. And then there is all of the other, hey, you know, you can make more in terms of endorsements. I'm sure the New Balance money, New Balance is negotiating a contract with either the Lakers or AEG or someone like that. They've been in the process of that for a while. So there are implications like that. But I would be careful not to stray too far away from basketball. And I think they need to go into with an understanding of what's important to Kawhi rather than what they think is important to Kawhi, because I think Kawhi is wired a little differently than most guys, and it's important that they've done their research.
I didn't think it was at all a coincidence that right after we get nerd that we get, I was combining news and word. So as soon as we got nerd that that the Lakers open up enough cap space to be able to get into the room with Kawhi Leonard, the very next report that we got was about LeBron James handing over his number to Anthony Davis,
right? And Anthony Davis waving his trade kicker, right?
Right. Like, I don't think any of these things, like those three stories being bang, 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 I don't think any of that is a coincidence whatsoever. And look, the giant elephant in the room, when you're talking to a Kawhi Leonard and you're trying to convince him to come and play on a team with LeBron James, the giant elephant in the room is, whose team is it, right? If that's something he cares about, if that's something that matters to him, the alpha, all that stuff, he did just win a title as an alpha, but, you know, it helped that Golden State did not have Kevin Durant and did not have Klay Thompson in that series. So I'm not putting an asterisk on it, but you have to be able to note that if you're talking about Kawhi Leonard, NBA champion as alpha with no other alphas around him, right? Mm-hmm. But if Kawhi Leonard is going to sign on and play alongside LeBron and he cares about that alpha stuff, LeBron just showed that, like, yeah, I can relent on something that matters to me, right? The number 23 is something that I have become at least partially synonymous with. I handed that over to Anthony Davis. If you want to come over here and you want to be the guy, then this is where LeBron kind of has to step up and say, yeah, man, I already saw last year that I tried to flip it into playoff mode and I didn't have that gear when I really, really needed to go to it, right? And you know, Anthony Davis is going to come here. And I think between Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, it's not even a question who the top dog would be, right? So if that is something that Kawhi Leonard cares about, and nobody really knows to what extent he does care about it, that's where, you know, LeBron plays an important role in convincing Kawhi to come to the Lakers.
Yeah, they are. We think of it so much through the lens of the Lakers upper management. The real power players here are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, with Rich Paul involved in that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the most important people, and they are the most credible argument that the Lakers can make to potential free agents, even beyond just Kawhi, that you should come here. They're the best things that we have to sell. Mm-hmm. Now, the selling needs to be done by those guys, though. I don't think that if Pelinka and Genie Bus or whomever is involved,
if anybody tries to speak for LeBron.
Right. Yeah. Right. That, I didn't even think of that, but that's totally true. That's another complication. But so they are the most important power brokers on the Lakers. And then it's up to the Lakers management, the people involved who are not those guys, to sell the other aspects of the organization while dispelling the notion that the Lakers are a train wreck. Right. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of work to do in those meetings. If I was a free agent, I sure as hell would have questions.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd better not see a Rambus.
I'm not there every day, right? And so all I've heard are stories, right? Some of that's going to be from the media. Most of it's going to be from other players and from their agent and things like that. But the Lakers do have questions to answer in every free agent meeting. And I think the Lakers need to focus their attention on that and leave the, hey, come play with these two bad MFers up to those two bad MFers in those pitches.
Yeah. Do you think Frank Vogel plays a role here at all? Not really, right?
Probably not. The NBA is so incestuous, where there's so many like relationships based on this, and like the 6 degrees of separation are just, it's very tightly compact. So maybe there's a relationship there somewhere that I don't know about. But other than that, I don't think so.
Put Uncle Dennis on the staff. I'm cool with it. Just, whatever it takes. All right. Before we go to, we're going to, on the other side of the break, we're going to preview the weekend and stuff like that, and get into some of the stuff. What we would expect you guys to hear about before Pete and I talk next on Sunday. But what are the chances do you think the Lakers have at Kawhi Leonard? Like, if you had to handicap it, put a percentage on it, 1 through 10, however you feel comfortable doing it.
Oh boy. So this is just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say like a 20% chance.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't have much in the way of sources on this. I talk to people, and it's a bunch of like, well, I think, and
nobody
I hope.
Nobody has sourcing when it comes to Kawhi.
And the people that are more tied to the players, like I personally like following Cuffs the Legend and Grads and all them dudes that have, you know, some, like, I know they talk to players. Like, that's one thing that I always wonder when I see conventional reporters reporting. It's like, well, are you talking to these guys in the first place? Like, or is it just through agents and rival executives? I always hear rival executives all the time. Well, in free agency, it's the players who are the ones that have control over where they're going. Who's talking to the players? Who has some connection to them? And so those type of folks, Cuffs and Grads, and like, Grads less so, but they've been more optimistic about Kawhi. But just on the Lakers side of things, if Kawhi is coming, they have done a good job. His camp has done a good job of keeping everyone in the dark on that. What do you think the odds are that Kawhi comes here?
I'd say 20, 25 or so. Same kind of thing. Here's my thing. I have never once said that I'm confident that Kawhi is going to the Lakers. I have never once said I'm confident that Kawhi is going to the Clippers. I've never once said I'm confident that Kawhi is going to Toronto. He could wind up in freaking Sacramento. I have no idea.
Everyone's guessing.
Yeah,
yes.
I have no idea. That's what makes this specific situation, this specific free agent superstar, so unique, is that nobody knows. Like, it's not even that there are breadcrumbs. Nobody knows what this guy prioritizes. I have no idea what this guy cares about. If he cares solely about winning, though, this is where I do start to have a little bit more confidence, because no other team in the NBA boasts LeBron James and Anthony Davis. No other team.
You put it perfect in simple English, like, and that is a like long term type of thing. Like, look, LeBron's getting older, but if Kawhi gets there, the other dudes on a team, they come and go, man.
Yeah.
Think of how much this Lakers roster has changed, even before the big trade for Anthony Davis. Brandon Ingram was our most tenured player on the team this year. You know, like, the other dudes come and go, but those superstars, man, and you got one that's 26 and Kawhi's 28 alongside him. That's not just a chance to win this year. here. Yeah. That's a chance to string something very special together. In my opinion, that's the in terms of where they are in their career, that's the best trio in NBA history. I don't think there's ever been another team that had three of the top seven guys. Maybe Gail Goodrich got into that range. I'm not as privy to that when they had Chamberlain and West. Bosch was a good player that was probably top 15, but I don't think it was a top seven guy. Like, you get to pitch, this could be the best trio of all time. Do you want it? And that's one of the best selling points. Yeah. I just think that needs to come from LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. No, like, I don't know if anybody from the Lakers are listening right now, but please tell Linda and Kurt that the meeting is on, like, next Friday. Like, just don't get them, don't allow them anywhere near the meeting. Just let it, keep it super simple. If you're going to talk about non-basketball ventures, talk to them about the $4 million that Anthony Davis just made for Space Jam 2. Like, whatever it takes, just keep it super simple. And I think that's where the Lakers, you know, they have a good chance, as good a chance as anybody here. So I guess in that respect, I'll say 33%, because it's like 33% to the Lakers, 33 to the Clippers, 33 to Toronto.
Oh, you wuss.
33.
What a cop-out prediction.
33.1. How about that? We're going to take a quick second, and we're going to try to preview the rest of the madness that is to come this upcoming weekend. Call me a wuss when I went 8% higher, 13% higher than you.
Because I don't think he's coming. I'm saying you're sitting on the fence. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's comfortable up here.
Oh, boy.
All right, so let's try to get to, if it isn't Kawhi, you and I have talked about various scenarios and stuff like that, but I think heading into this weekend, getting into what we think that we're going to start hearing about the Lakers, here's my thing. And this has really struck me over the course of this offseason thus far. I think the Lakers have been really quiet. I really do.
That's a good thing, right?
No, it is a good thing. And from that standpoint, like, you know, this deal with Washington, it just popped up, right? It just kind of happened. A lot of people are saying, wow, it's weird that the Lakers are leaking all these players' names to, like, why would the Lakers do that is my thing. When even during the Anthony Davis saga, like, why would the Lakers leak their own players' names? Yeah, they don't. If we're at this point to acknowledge that maybe Pelinka isn't out and out inept, well, then if he is not that level of inept, he would not have leaked the players' names, right? And so I guess I'll use this to just generally frame the weekend to be, I don't know how much we'll actually hear until stuff really starts to get serious. Would you agree with that?
I think we're going to hear a lot of noise. I agree with what you're saying in terms of it being accurate, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Once, I think that's going to be when we hear the stuff that actually does have some teeth to it. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it, like, we're already getting some of the, you know, like Bobby Portis was linked to the Lakers. Like, come on.
Right.
Like, that's not actually a thing. Nick Vucevic was, you know, as we talked about previously, is an older name that had been previously tied to the Lakers. But come on, he doesn't make sense given the structure of the roster right now. So I think from that standpoint, you know, we'll hear the stuff where players' agents are tying the Lakers to a situation to drum up interest, because that's a surefire way to do so. If the Lakers don't go out, if they don't land Kawhi, right, if the meeting doesn't go very well, do you think we've talked about what they should do, but how do you think they actually approach this? Do you think they go down the list of superstars, or do they immediately move directly to spreading the cap space across a few players instead?
I think it's down to three guys in terms of guys that they would give a lot of money to that they also have a chance of getting. I'm paraphrasing Mark Stein here, who said something that I thought was one of the most honest things that any, you know, conventional reporter said on a recent podcast. He said, I'm pretty sure that Kyrie is going to Brooklyn. I feel pretty confident in that. I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically what he said. Mm-hmm. And Everything else, who the hell knows? Nobody knows, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take Kyrie off of the table, because I do think the Lakers would make a run at him, but I just don't think he's coming. I think it's Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, and D'Angelo Russell. The order of Russell versus Butler, I think, is up in the air. I think the Lakers would like to get Russell at a lower number than his $27 million max figure, as would I. Yeah. But if they can get Russell at around 20 or in the low 20s, and now that they do have $32 million, and that leaves them with 9 or 10 million to get another good player, then it becomes an equation of not is D'Angelo Russell better right now than Jimmy Butler, which I don't think he is, but is D'Angelo Russell plus $10 million player X better than Jimmy Butler? And then that's, you have an interesting conversation to have. So I think it's Kawhi is the obvious plan A, and then I think it's a little murkier between plan B and plan C. But those are the three I think they'd go for to spend most of their money on, if not all. And then after that, I think it starts to get split into role players.
Here's where I'm going to name drop a little bit. I was fortunate enough to be able to talk to Stein yesterday for the other podcast for Silver Screen and Roll.
Nice.
He brought up a name that I hadn't really even thought was on the table remotely, and it was Malcolm Brogdon. And you know, if the Bucks get priced out, right? So Lowe presented it to Woj the other day on ESPN, as there are three names that Milwaukee is interested in, right? Or that they're desperate to bring back. And it's Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Middleton, and Brook Lopez. He asked him, how do you think they go? Do they go one for three, two for three, whatever? And Woj seemed to indicate it was two for three, that he thought that they were going to go two for three. If they do go two for three and it is Brogdon that they get priced out of, let's say you can get Brogdon at 20. Let's say we'll just make it the same across the board here. Would you rather have D'Angelo Russell at $20 million or Malcolm Brogdon at $20 million?
I'd rather have Russell, but it's a very fair question. There are two reasons that I'd rather have Russell. Mm-hmm. One, the age difference. And now we're looking to win right now, but I do think the Lakers can split the difference in trying to win now and setting themselves up for...
There's an age difference, but Brogdon isn't so far ahead of Russell right now that it's... Like, Jimmy Butler is so far ahead of Russell right now because of that age difference that win now means more.
For sure. It's Brogdon is 27 and Russell is 23. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, if you've got a 23-year-old all-star and a 26-year-old superstar, that allows your 34-year-old superstar to become a, over the next couple of years, to become a second option or, mm-hmm. or a third option if he sticks around even beyond his contract. And so I think you set yourself up now for both now and for the future. Whereas Brogdon, I think Brogdon is close to being what he's going to be. Yeah. I think Russell still has a little more before he hits what he's going to be. Secondly, I think the Lakers really need somebody who can dribble the ball. As simple as that sounds, I think so. Like, Brogdon isn't a bad ball handler or anything like that. But you can give the ball to Russell, who I think ran the fifth most pick and rolls in the NBA last year, and alleviate some of that responsibility from LeBron, right? Like, and AD has handles. I hope people know what I mean. Like, you need a guard who you can give the ball to that can dribble on a high volume basis. Mm-hmm. Now, Brogdon is a fantastic defender. He is a really efficient shooter and scorer, right? He will capitalize on the open looks. He led the NBA in free throw percentage last year. You'll have a guy who can shoot your technicals for you for the next 3-4 years. But maybe this is just me being greedy, I think the ceiling with Russell and is higher than it is with Brogdon.
I agree about the ceiling. I would add that the floor is higher with Brogdon than with D'Angelo Russell.
I agree with that.
In that respect, I think I would slightly lean Brogdon, but it isn't so far over that I would be disappointed if they had their legitimate choice and went with Russell, right?
Yeah, I do want to clarify that, like, if they chose Brogdon over Russell at comparable money, I wouldn't be mad at all. He's a good player.
Yeah, he would, and it's a phenomenal fit. You know, I would be interested to see what they get for the shooting guard there. Like, if they go Brogdon at 20, and then the remaining 12 or 13 million that they have for the next player over, they get somebody with some creativity chops to him, then okay, then fine. then we're great, you know. And vice versa. Like if they go $20 million for Russell and the shooting guard that they get is a better defender to make up for the defense at whatever, like just so long as things fit here, that's all I really care about. But you know what? The focus is Kawhi Leonard. And it's wild that it's I never thought at all that we would get to a point that it would be within the realm of possibility. You know, I've been hesitant to even mention Kawhi in this show, to be completely honest. It's a legitimate thing, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this weekend unfolds. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
You know, man, if nothing else, the Lakers are in position now. Yeah. We don't know how it's going to transpire, but they're in position both from a technical standpoint in terms of they have created enough max space, mm-hmm. and then they have about as appealing of a pitch as they could possibly have. And this is about all we could have asked for. So far, so good. You got to come through with, you know, I would love Kawhi. I'm not expecting him, but Kawhi is not the only version of this that I would deem a success. So I'm super excited. Just a public service announcement for everyone. Free agency starts at 3 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday. So it's a little different than previous years. Sunday is the 30th. They moved it up a day and it starts at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which is where we're recording. So don't make any plans for dinner or in the late afternoon if you want to be keeping up on all of this news. So it's a little different. Not 9 p.m., 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Get ready. Pete and I will be, you know, it's been funny and I greatly appreciate it. It's something that I chuckle at while also marveling at the fact that people want to hear from us. If something wild does happen, right, which probably won't go down until Sunday afternoon anyway, but if something wild does happen, I at least will hop on here and talk about it for a little while for you guys. But for now, Pete and I will record Sunday afternoon, early evening-ish, and we will try to contextualize everything that we heard over the course of that day, get you guys ready for the week that is to be. There probably won't be a mailbag this week because of free agency and everything that we're going to hear there. So I'll push the mailbag back to later in the week. So if you guys do have questions, let them rip, and then I'll try to get to them later next week. But for now, the plan right now is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Pete and I are going to take you guys through those initial first couple days where hopefully we'll get some clarity on what it is that Kawhi Leonard is hoping for from whatever team that he signs with. That's the first domino that we'll get. And then from there, we'll try to figure out what else everything else means.
Can't wait, man. None of us are getting anything done for the next few days.
No, Jen, I'm sorry. I'll see you next week sometime, and then I'm probably going to leave for Vegas right after that.
All right, don't get fired, people. Good luck.